All right. Well, we've done things a little bit differently today. Some of you might be in shock, but I wanted to wear a racing jacket and a hat, but I didn't get one, so I would have really wowed you then, right? But you know, dear ones, we are doing all of these things. We decorate, we sing these songs, and it's just not to have fun. So many people in this world, even churches today, do these things to make something fun for the kids. And that is secondary, but primary. We believe that God wants to get these kids' attention. And so, yes, this is going to be a fun environment, and there's going to be games and prizes and things for them to do. But our heart is that these young people hear the truth about Jesus Christ. That they hear the Bible stories taught on their level and lessons that involve pictures and illustrations. And so as we pray, we're going to spend some time in prayer right now. I ask you to join me as we pray for this ministry. I'm going to ask you to join me as we pray for these young people that God's going to bring through those doors. I don't know who they are. I don't know what's going on in their lives, in their homes, but God does. And so we are just a tool to be used by God. And what we are doing is we are placing ourselves right there and saying, God, use us. Use us. Lord Jesus, we've joined together as a body of believers this morning. And we are praying with one accord, that you, God, would be preparing these young people, whether they be a little four-year-old boy, or whether it be a girl that just graduated high school, whether it be a sixth grader. Lord, whoever these children are, these youth are, God, even now, help them to begin to ask questions in their life. Help them to realize, Lord, their need for a Savior. And God, I pray that as your word goes forth during this time of VBS, Lord, that we might see your hand at work in these young people. And God, would you prepare us to be tools in the Master's hand? Prepare us and use us for your honor and your glory. Lord, we don't want to be praised. We want you to be praised, you to be glorified. Lord, may the things that be taught, may they be clearly from your scriptures. For your scriptures are what has the power and the authority. I pray for those that are here today that they're just now getting introduced to VBS and Lord, I pray that you'd work in the hearts of people and raise up a strong team of volunteers to be a part of this ministry. I pray, Father, for those that have a heart to pray, that you would raise them up and challenge their hearts that they might pray with us in this ministry and pray for these children. And now, God, as we take some time together and look at your word, I ask that our hearts would be opened to it, that we would be challenged and encouraged. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy, and just so you know, I'm not planning on doing a full message this morning, so don't get nervous. I know the time. But the Word of God is central here at the Christian Church of Rural Grove. 2 Timothy in chapter 3. We're going to just look at a couple of verses here, and then we will turn to another passage. Today we've been looking at or focusing in on the idea of children and of young people. And for a moment, as you or you're sitting there, your Bibles are opened, I want to ask you to just take a moment and think back to your childhood. Think back those years of growing up. And think of what influenced you the most. What was it in your life as a young person that had played a great part in who you were today, or who you are today? What is it that influenced you for good or for bad? I trust as your mind goes back, inevitably, you are probably thinking of people, right? Are you thinking of people? You see, people play a huge role in our lives, whether we know it or not. And as we're going to see today, God desires to use people to influence others for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now that it's not a very profound statement. It's something, it's not a new thing for you. I know you have understood that. But I believe God today wants to remind us that God wants to use you. And in fact, if you are a Christian here today, God has you on this earth to be someone who is a testimony to others. He just doesn't have you here to sit idly by and watch people walk into a Christless eternity. God has us here on this earth to be people of influence. Influence for Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy, it's his final letter that he is writing. He is in the last year of his life, and he is drawing Timothy's attention to the incredible darkness and evil that is all around him. But in the midst of all of this, he brings this reminder, verse 14. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. I want you to notice that word child, verse 15. That is a Greek word that is used for a child, whether it be unborn in the womb, or whether it be a newborn child, or whether it be a young child. But we know that this word specifically points to the very youngest of children. And what does it say? And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Well, who's talking here? Paul. Who is he talking to? He's talking to Timothy. Timothy was most likely a convert of Paul's ministry. But who else had an influence in Paul or in Timothy's life? His mother and his grandmother. If you look back at the beginning of 2 Timothy, look at chapter 1 and verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. These two ladies played a very important role in this young man's life. And what we are seeing here is we are seeing that God chooses to use people in the lives of children to influence them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. What was it that was used? The Holy Scriptures. Now, specifically in this context, in verse 15, the Holy Scriptures for Timothy would have been the Old Testament Scriptures. They would have been communicated to him through his mother as a Jew. And the Apostle Paul, as a Jew, would have used the Old Testament Scriptures. You know, dear ones, let's not miss the point. Children need to hear the Scriptures. You know, it's so easy for us to pick up a Bible and say, man, it's so hard for me to understand. Is it a waste of time to share it with children? Shouldn't I wait till they're older? I mean, I can't believe I would say such a thing. But listen, you know, the Word of God, God's Word is so powerful, folks. You believe this is a living Word of God? The living Word of God means, what that means is that the Spirit of God, who is at work around us and in our lives, the Spirit of God will take the Word of God and apply it to the hearts of people, will apply it to the hearts of children. Let me ask you a question. How many of you were affected or heard the gospel and were touched by the gospel at a young age? Raise your hand. Under 10. If you're under 10. Almost half of you. Almost half of you. You knew something was going on in your life. God was at work. And the Apostle Paul here is reminding Timothy of that truth. Now, with that in mind, I want to take us to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We understand that children can be influenced by the Scriptures. But what they need is they need people to expose them to the Scriptures. They need you and me to be faithful followers of Christ who will point our young people to Jesus. Our young people need adults who can skillfully use the Word of God to tell them about Jesus so that they, at a young age, know the truth. You know, my testimony is I came to Christ at the age of 4. I didn't understand everything yet. But I knew I was a sinner, and I knew Jesus Christ was my Savior. That He died on the cross and paid the penalty for my sin. At the age of 4. How did that happen? I was sitting in an adult service listening to a preacher. And God got a hold of my heart as a 4-year-old. That's the power of the Word of God. And when we have these things like VBS, and our children are sitting under the teaching of the Word of God, it's a tremendous opportunity for God to do a mighty work. But God needs you. He needs me. He wants to use us as His tools for the service. You see, the Apostle Paul realized that. You look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. He writes, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Yes, God needs you. God wants to use you. God wants to use me in the lives of our children, and not just children, of all people. What kind of people does he want to use? He wants to use people that have a clear focus. Christ crucified. You know, dear ones, you want to be an effective minister for Jesus Christ? You want to be used by God? Have a clear focus. Your ministry is focused on Jesus Christ and the gospel. Him crucified. You look at our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says there in verses 1 and 2, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except this one thing, Jesus Christ and Him crucified." What's Paul saying? He said, I came among you with this one purpose, that Jesus Christ might be known by you. I came to share with you Jesus Christ, Him crucified, buried, and rose again. You know, dear ones, you have a clear focus. You want to be a tool used by God in ministry. You've got to be focused clearly on Jesus Christ in the gospel. It must be the central part of your life, because in a very real sense, it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ that is the axle upon which the wheel of our life turns. In verse 3, you see the need for a clear humility. We need to have a clear focus, Christ crucified. We need to have a clear humility. We need to acknowledge our weaknesses and our inadequacies. We just really need to believe what is true about ourselves. That's really what humility is. Humility is understanding what is true about yourself, that you really aren't all that, that you really don't have it all together, that you really don't have all the answers, but that you know the one who does. In verse 3, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." Does that sound like somebody you'd want to go listen to? Weakness and fear, somebody trembling? Our culture says no. But I want you to search your heart and realize, I want you to realize something. Deep down inside, our hearts are turned off by those people that think they have it all together. Our spirits long to commune with people that readily admit they don't have it all, but they know the one who does, and they are confident in Him, Jesus Christ. And this is the Apostle Paul as he walked into Corinth in ministry. He walked in not having all the answers. And this, dear ones, this is a stark difference than the false teachers who were there. I mean, false teachers will tell you all the answers they got an answer for every question. But listen, Paul came in and what's he say? He says, "I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." Why? He realized who he was, but he realized his message was greater than himself. It was Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You want to be a faithful minister for the Lord Jesus Christ, have a clear focus, Him crucified. And when you have that focus, you realize a humility in your life that you don't have at all. And thirdly, that leads us to the clear power that is demonstrated through the Spirit of God. Apostle Paul writes in verses 4 and 5, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Power. When you think of power, what do you think of? I worked on construction sites. I saw heavy equipment move monstrous rocks. Power. I watched dynamite blow up huge boulders. Power. What do you think of when you think of power? Dear ones, you want to minister for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to realize it's all about Jesus in the gospel. Realize it's not about you, it's about Him. And it's His power that's going to do the work. And dear ones, as we approach a VBS, as we approach anything here at the Christian Church of Rural Grove, we must keep this in mind. It's about Jesus. It's not about us. And it's going to take His power. It's about Jesus. That's the focus. It's not about us. That's the humility. But it's about His power. It's His power that does the work, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. The wisdom of men will fail. It will fail you. But in the power of God, God never fails. He never fails. You look at His testimony throughout the Scriptures, and God is always faithful. Dear ones, God wants to use you in the lives of children, of young people, of adults. God wants to prepare you for that ministry. Prepare us. And just like the Apostle Paul testified here to the Corinthian church, it's going to take the clear focus upon Jesus Christ, upon the gospel. And it's going to take realizing who you are, what's true about yourself, that you are not all that. It's Jesus Christ. And it's His power that's going to do the work. It's His power that needs to be exalted and recognized. It's His power that's effective in eternal matters. God wants to use you. God wants to use me. And I pray that He'll use His holy word to help convince you and to convince me of His faithfulness.